is back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen, the loyal audience of IRB English Radio,
welcome to another episode of Back to Reality. In the realm of truth, we have two very dear guests. Now I want them to introduce themselves to you. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Muzaffar Haider from the UK, and I'm studying in the holy city of Qom, alhamdulillah.
Such a pleasure to be with you. So you're studying religion?
Yeah, I'm studying in the Hawza.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm Sadiqa from the UK as well. And I'm studying in Qom as well, in the Sisters Hawza. And my field of study is Fiqh and Usul. Fiqh and Usul is basically the principles of jurisprudence.
Very great. In today's episode, we're going to have a discussion that circles around the holy month of Ramadan. Now, in some countries, we see that they pass some laws considering drinking or eating in public situations. Personally, what do you think if you were a person who could pass this law? What would have you done? Would you leave it as an optional choice for people to eat or drink in public? Or no, you would say that it must be forbidden. There must be a law that bans eating or drinking in public?
I think that would depend on the ratio of Muslims to non-Muslims in your country, right? So if you have a majority Christian country, it wouldn't be right to implement such a law. Because
so if the majority are Muslim, what would you do?
If the majority are Muslims, then possibly yes, because that's a form of nahi anil munkar, which is very important to implement in society.
Would you pass that law? Would you make it ban?
As a law, not particularly, because Muslims each have a responsibility to fast. And if they're not fasting, then they could be an exception to the law, and forcing them to do something that is out of their control. Let's say someone is sick. He's on the road, needs to have a medicine right now.
Exactly.
And I come and fine you for drinking water to have your medicine in the middle of the road. While it is out of your control, you need to take that medicine.
Exactly.
Yeah, in those cases, no, I wouldn't pass a law. But every Muslim needs to understand the responsibilities, which is unfortunate that many do not. But as a law, no.
So I think I'm team sister Sadiqa, and now you, brother Muzaffar, have to explain to us.
This isn't fair. Sister raised some really good points there. What if they have a medical condition? What if they have, you know, some other issue because of what
you know,
they're
in
traveling?
Some countries they have this law. I think they have some exceptions. There must be exceptions.
Yeah. What if you can implement the law, but then have exceptions too?
Yes.
You know?
Then I would be your team as well.
What about a guy who's just riding a taxi and he's smoking? He's like, does he have a medical condition where he needs to smoke?
Then what should we do in that condition?
In the month of Ramadan. Because, look, fasting in the month of Ramadan is one of the most important faridahs that we have in Islam. Even secular Muslims will engage in fasting in the month of Ramadan.
Yes.
Right? If we fail as a society to implement even that, that's not good.
I saw a documentary in which a Christian person said that in our country, eating and drinking during the holy month is free. You can do whatever you like. But since we have a respect for Muslim people, we don't do that.
And this is another factor as well. Let's say you have an exception, right? You have a medical condition.
Yes.
Why are you standing in the street and eating a turkey sandwich when everybody else is fasting? There's kids who are fasting.
Which is
They're going to affect you really badly.
Exactly. Especially because we have some kids who are starting to fast.
Yeah.
You know?
Actually,
they're very young and they have to start.
Yeah, I mean, that's not fair. Look, you're trying to train your 10-year-old kid to fast. Or your 13-year-old. And they're looking at it. Look at that man. He's just scoffing.
Exactly. A bulky person is eating that burger and then
pudding.
That kid is looking at them.
Okay. There's another thing. When it comes to implementing laws, generally speaking, throughout the Islamic Republic and in the future, inshallah, when we establish more Islamic republics in the world, generally speaking, there are laws for public spheres and for private spheres. As far as I know, even in the Islamic Republic of Iran, right, things like alcohol are banned in the public sphere, right? You want loud music and parties, for example, it's banned in the public sphere and you have the right to do Nahi Anil Munkar as a citizen. to those people. But if people are doing that secretly in their basements,
in their houses, yes.
Do it, because that is, you know, it's still
it
wrong.
It is not our business, it's your business.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that.
Yes, exactly.
The problem with secular, predominantly Western societies is that those same gunas, those same haram acts are taking place and being endorsed publicly. That's really what Islam has an issue with.
So right now, let's go for a little break and we'll be back after just a short interval. Thank you for listening, guys.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
There was a companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, and he broke into somebody's house to catch them drinking alcohol in their house. And he said, "You shouldn't be drinking alcohol." And the guy pointed the finger back and he said, "All right, I'm drinking alcohol, but you've just broken more rules of Islam."
Exactly.
First of all, Islam says that you should enter through the front door. You entered through the back. Secondly, you entered without my permission.
We got the point.
The idea is this, that publicly these sins should not be done. And I think if we have the power to implement laws which will prevent that thing from taking place in the public, we should, shouldn't we?
You know, that all comes with what sister said. Every single person in this society is responsible. If I consider that as my duty to do whatever I have to do, truly, then there would be no problem. And as you said, the problem is with doing those things in public. Now, if you want to do that at your home or any place that is going to be secret, it's no problem. It's not at least our problem.
Yeah.
But when you do it in public, then it turns to be a problem. Now, sister, I would ask you a question. How should we react against these people?
You see, first, when it comes down to the public sphere, we need to understand that this is a personal point, right? I'm not going to I'm not going to base it on religious rulings. It's a very personal point that the more we impose on societies these sort of laws in the general society, we get people who are very rebellious.
Exactly.
What we need to start off is with educating the people about different laws.
And it would cause some tensions, unnecessary tensions.
Unnecessary tensions. As well, if a person is educated about a specific law, why it has come in place, why Islam discourages people from eating in public in the month of Ramadan, educating would have much more of a better effect.
But do you think that would do some good, educating?
Yes, because the intellect is more powerful than our shahwa. It's more powerful than our desire. Sometimes people eat in a public environment because they do not understand the importance of the month of Ramadan. They do not understand the importance of fasting. They do not understand the importance of allowing others to fast.
Or if they know, they just have a problem and they are
rebellious people. That comes from their rebellious nature. And if they do it just to spite people, unfortunately, we can't really do much about that.
Yes, exactly.
But not everyone's out there to spite others. People just do not understand. They just want to go with the flow, with the status quo. If we understand where they are coming from, if we start educating our communities from a very young age, not when they're 50, 60 years old, educate them from a very young age,
very young.
We can progress in how religious rulings are seen in a much more positive light, rather than I'm going to fine you or I'm going to get you into jail because you just had a turkey sandwich in the street.
So now we educated them. We did all we could do to nurture them in order to be responsible and show that responsibility in public. But still, we see some people who do that. How would you react against them when you see them?
If I'm in power?
No, you're not in power. As a person, normal, common person.
I don't know. Just probably frown at them and walk off. If you're like, you know, you shouldn't be doing
so
that.
So we can't do much, technically.
Nahi an al-munkar, it takes many shapes and forms, right? If at the very least, you can show that you're not happy with that act. I don't know.
Yeah,
it depends on the situation.
Just the facial impressions.
If it's a sister in the street and her hijab isn't good, for example, I'd prefer just not to get involved at all. You know, but if it's a brother and he's in the month of Ramadan and he's doing something, you know, eating or something, then maybe I'd do something. And I do believe that a lot of these issues do come down to the implementers of the laws, especially in an Islamic country. educating people is good, and yeah, that's the primary option, and that's mm-hmm. that's the ideal state that we want to reach. But 99% of people are, you know, they won't be educated. Maybe 99 is a little bit steep, but yeah. the majority of people, you know, أكثرهم لا يعلمون, most of them,
that is
most
the
of
point.
Them don't know, right? And that's just the nature of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we give human beings a lot of the benefit of the doubt. Even in non-Muslim countries, if we see that people are behaving in a certain way and it appears civilized, we should recognize that actually if a lot of the laws were removed, those same people would turn into the worst kind of animals. You know, there's a reason why the Ten Commandments, you know, one of the first laws is thou shalt not kill.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural to assume that human beings should know this without having to be told that killing somebody else is bad. But no, human beings are such. Laws have to be implemented to control society. Otherwise, everything would just go haywire.
Now, brother, you were talking that if you see some negative behavior in the society, you would just prefer not to get involved with those people. Now, I have a question from you. Do you prefer to have some authorities, to have some stronger, some people in power to interfere? Do you think that there must be some people like that in society in which ask people not to do such things?
Yeah, there should be. There should be a kind of organized force
mm-hmm.
Which has the power of government behind them, which will go into society and stop certain evils from taking place. It's a very natural phenomenon, actually. I'll give you an example from the West. It has become law that teachers have to teach children under the age of six, right? So mm-hmm. five-year-olds, four-year-olds. About absolutely obscene things that I can't even mention here to do with reproductive organs of human beings and
yes.
stuff, right? Now, I don't want my child to be educated in that way, for example,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, if I choose to pull my child out of those classes, there is a likelihood that I will actually be punished for that and the child could be taken out of my custody,
oh.
right? So this is the way that the taghut and the evildoers have implemented a system
mm-hmm.
whereby evil is actually promoted and enforced upon society.
Yes.
The general population is helpless in the face of this. This is the way that governments work. Now, if you have the government in your power as a Muslim, you have to do the same thing, but like in terms of enforcing, but what you enforce should be good
exactly.
rather than evil, right? So this idea of enforcing the certain things, you know, when we look at the verse La ikraha fid din,
mm-hmm.
right, there is no compulsion in religion, we think that that's just a blanket statement and therefore everybody is free to do whatever they want in the sense that, you know, society can choose for themselves what is right and what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. If we look before that and after that, Allah Himself gives us the context. He says, "Qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghayy." Surely,
so you know the truth.
Right.
You know what
been,
is wrong
yeah.
and what is
right. And then after that, so that's more talking about the aqaid of people, the beliefs of people. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
you can't change the beliefs of people. You can't force people to have iman. But the laws that you implement in society, which are designed to protect people and help them to grow spiritually, mentally, physically, economically, financially, in every way, yeah, those laws should be implemented.
So, yes, thank you. I think that's all the time we've got for today's episode. Thank you for listening until another session. I bid you farewell, and I leave you to the God's never sleeping eyes.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah. يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي التي أما rise again let us see daylight again once again.